All right, Joe, now on to Smith Jones Church. Amen. Isn't God good? It's amazing. His goodness is never ending. My title this morning is Fight the Good Fight of Faith. And you can turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6. So this, of course, is Paul writing to Timothy. So I'm going to start at verse 1, and I'm going to also read this from the NLT version. So 1 Timothy 6:1 says, "All slaves," which, of course, you know, today would be like employees, "should show full respect for their masters, so they will not bring shame on the name of God and his teaching. If the masters are believers, that is no excuse for being disrespectful. Those slaves should work all the harder because their efforts are helping other believers who are well-loved." And, you know, this is kind of cool because this actually applies to me. Like, my boss is a believer. And so it's encouraging to know that, you know, the work that I do, it helps him, but it also helps the gospel. And we even have a testimony, like, in our own company that, you know, not to get too technical, but the, you know, we do projects that cost millions of dollars, and if we make a mess up, you know, then we could be sued. And he's known, and he's testified this before, that he knows it's God that has kept us, you know, from anything major. I mean, we have made mistakes and stuff, but God's always been faithful to us, and we know it's all God. So it's encouraging, you know, when you got a boss that is a believer. So teach these things, Timothy, and encourage everyone to obey them. Some people may contradict our teaching, but these are the wholesome teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. These teachings promote a godly life. Anyone who teaches something different is arrogant and lacks understanding. Such a person has an unhealthy desire to quibble over the meaning of words. This stirs up arguments, ending in jealousy, division, slander, and evil suspicions. I'm sure you've probably come across those people that they like to argue, you know. They can find any point to argue with you. They may believe one way, and then if you believe the other way, you know, they'll argue, or they'll just take an opposing view just because they enjoy arguing with you. Verse 5, "These people always cause trouble. Their minds are corrupt, and they have turned their backs on the truth. To them, a show of godliness is just a way to become wealthy. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content." I think that is amazing that, you know, Paul was telling Timothy that if you have plenty to eat and you got clothing, that's all you need. You can be content with that. And I think about that in my own life, and yet I have abundant and beyond that, you know. You can thank God for if you have a roof over your head. You've got AC, heat, a car to get you where you need to go. I mean, you could go down to this and constantly have blessing after blessing after blessing. And he's like, man, if you just got food and clothing, you can be content with that. And it's amazing because when you can actually live in that, it's amazing how much peaceful your life is, you know, instead of, you know, because he talks a lot about rich people, you know. They constantly want money, you know, they're going after money. They want more and more, but yet they're never satisfied. And he's like, man, if you just got food and clothing, then you can be content with that. And we know Paul learned that because he talks about that in other parts of the scripture where, you know, if I have a bunch, you know, I'm content. If I have nothing, I'm content. You know, it's all Jesus Christ. And he learned that. And so 9, "But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. And of course, we know this because we've talked about this before. You know, it's not money that is the root of evil. It's the love of money, you know. So when people say it's all money, it's not money. It's the love of money. Verse 11, but you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life to which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. Who knows what Timothy was going through, but he talks a lot about witches. So I have a feeling that Paul was like, it's possible that Timothy probably had this opportunity like a lot of ministers sometimes do, you know. All of a sudden they become famous, or they're like, you know, all this wealth can be before them. And he's like, you got to fight this good fight of faith, you know. You know, when we get saved, it's not all, you know, roses and, you know, easy. It's a fight, but it's a good fight of faith, you know. You just got to stay with it, you know. And a lot of times the devil will attack anywhere. It could be just things that are going on, trials and troubles that are going through, or it could be temptations, you know, but you got to fight this fight of faith. So 13, and I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering, that no one can find fault with you from now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And let's see, in the King James Version, it says, unrebukable until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it makes me think that Paul, he didn't know, but they thought, you know, Jesus Christ could come in all time. So he's like telling Timothy, just be ready because the Lord Jesus Christ could appear at any time. And here we are 2,000 years later and he still hasn't come, yet it's closer than now. And it just shows you about this fighting the good fight of faith. You got to fight it because you never know when that time comes. And then 15:4, at just the right time, Christ will be revealed from heaven by the blessed and only Almighty God, the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And I like that because, you know, NLT says at just the right time. He ain't going to come a second too early or a second too late. He alone can never die, and he lives in light so brilliant that no human can approach him. No human eye has ever seen him, nor ever will. All honor and power to him forever. Amen. Teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for enjoyment. And so, you know, this is telling you that, you know, just because if someone's rich doesn't mean they're evil, you know. You can be a Christian and be rich. It's just if you are, you got to learn how to trust God and not get. That's why, you know, Jesus was talking about how it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom because they can rely on your money, you know, instead of relying on God. So he's like, you got to know that it all comes from God, you know. He gives it to us all. 18, tell them to use the money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need, always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up the treasures as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. Timothy, guard what God has entrusted to you. Avoid godless, foolish discussions with those who oppose you with their so-called knowledge. Some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. May God's grace be with you all. So that verse 21 says, some people have wandered from the faith by following such foolishness. That's why he's telling him, you got to fight this good fight of faith. Because especially now these days, just over the past year or two, you hear about these guys or women of faith that have fallen away because they're not fighting the good fight of faith. So it's so important. Who knows what entices them away, you know, and they allow things to come into life. You know, it doesn't happen overnight. Usually it's little by little. The devil plants a little seed here and there. And that's why it's so important to fight this good fight of faith and just stay on the course. So that is all I have for you today.
Amen. Praise God. That was wonderful. How's everyone doing today? Good. Good to see everybody. Okay, so this is my final sermon in my hardship series. And so it's called Remembering How to Face Hardships. So you can go ahead and turn to John 16:33. And then while you're going there, I want to recap what we've been talking about these last few months. So the entire series was based on the life of Job. When I first prayed about this series, I knew that Job would be a perfect example for going through hardships, because he was the kind of guy that he was doing everything right, and then suddenly the enemy did this to him. And for all of us, sometimes it can be like, man, I am serving the Lord faithfully. I'm coming to church, and I'm paying my tithe, and I'm helping people, and I'm serving God faithfully at work. So how come all of this stuff suddenly happens to me? And so what Job reveals is that we have a true enemy, and we need to stand strong against that true enemy. Amen? Yeah. It's easy to talk about the things we have conquered, but when past hurts still hurt, and sickness and disease still aches in our bodies, and people we thought were our friends still don't want to talk to us, the devil is right there ready to tell us all of these lies. He tells us, this is your fault. You deserve this. Look at what you have done. No wonder this has happened to you, and you call yourself a Christian. What will people think about you? You are a disgrace. You are going to bring such a bad name to your family, to your church. Why don't you just move away and start over? You're better off not even being around Christians. Just give up on this whole Jesus thing. You can never be holy enough to live for him anyway. And those are lies. Those are lies of the enemy. These lies wipe out Christians every day, especially new believers. These lies have to be cast down. They have to be destroyed. They have to be made of none effect to your faith. These lies have to be taken down by the truth. What truth? The truth of God's word. Amen. So the topics we talked about were suffering, when no one understands, burdens, loss of loved ones, financial loss, emotional pain from hurts, sickness, disease, and infirmities, and last week, the unexpected. And each one of these holds a different kind of hardship for every one of us. Some of us can relate to more than others, right? Okay, let's go ahead and read John 16:33. I'm getting there. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. We need the strength of the Spirit of God to overcome. We need Jesus. We need to know him personally so that we don't give up when trials and tribulations are coming at us. So my first point is hardships are a part of life. My second point is the most important relationship in your life is between you and Father God. No other relationship is more important than that one. Amen. Even if you are crying loudly to him, your communication with him is what keeps your faith strong when you are weak, right? It is in our weakness that his strength is made perfect. In the Amplified, it says, his power is made perfect. Amen. We don't have to think that we need to be a powerful person to make it through hardships. We just have to hold on to Jesus. It is when we face the enemy on our own that we end up losing. The devil never makes battles fair fights. He will always find and exploit your weakness. He will always use loved ones against you. He will always condemn you of the past and throw lies and accusations your way, and he never stops. You have to make a choice to stop him. And the only way you can do that is in the almighty, powerful name of Jesus Christ. His name is above all names. and his sacrifice is what has destroyed the enemy, right? My third point is in Mark 11:22, Jesus said, "Have faith in God." And the original translation says, "Have the faith of God." God has put his own faith in you to make it through these hard times. The God who created the heavens and the earth put his faith in you. His faith. Faith to move mountains, uproot stubborn roots of bitterness and unforgiveness, raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils, make the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk. His faith in you does those things. Isn't that awesome? Do you believe it? Jesus himself said and did all of these miracles to show us that it was possible, but only with the faith of God. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen? And my fourth point is, all of the evil that has happened and is happening in this world is caused by the curse of sin brought in because of the devil. Who do we blame? The devil. But does that make us innocent if we're the ones that mess up? No, we still have to repent, right? John 10:10 says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." So does that make sense? That's where evil comes from. And Jesus goes on to say, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." In the message, it says, "more and better life than ever dreamed of." In the Amplified, it says, "abundance to the full, till it overflows." This is the life that Jesus gives. Isn't that awesome? Yes. If you have Jesus in you, the devil can never steal that life and that light inside of you. The only person on this whole earth who can take it away is you. The only person. The choice you make in your heart is what affects your faith eternally. Amen? You are a new creature meant to live in this abundant life that was given to you by Jesus. Do you want to live in that life? Amen? It's not meant to be wasted. It's meant to be lived. It's meant to be used. It's meant to be enjoyed and to be shared with others. If you think that the hardships that all people go through are meant to be a normal, accepted way of life, that we just have to accept it, then you are missing out on why Jesus died for you in the first place. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." But Paul doesn't say, "Oh, go ahead and give up, you poor thing." No. He says in Romans 8:37, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." Do you believe that for you? Do you have faith that God loves you? If you do, then the battle is already won. For the last point, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to start at verse 1 when you get there. Thank you, Jesus. 1 John chapter 4. And my last point is, be careful what you believe in. 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Do you remember when I was telling you about Eliphaz and how Eliphaz came to Job because he thought he heard from a spirit? Well, when the spirit appeared to him in the night, which was the enemy, it was the devil, he said, "There is no way you can be pure and innocent before God. You are just clay that can be easily crushed. God doesn't care about you. He doesn't even care about his own angels." And this is the devil saying it, because as soon as the devil got pride in his heart, boom, he was thrown down, right? And the devil goes on to tell him, "You have evil in your heart," because he wants Eliphaz to tell Job this, "and God has punished you because you deserve it." And see, sometimes we listen to the wrong spirit, thinking it's a spirit of God, and it's not really. The devil sounded so convincing to Eliphaz that he thought he was hearing a spirit from God. He did not realize it was the enemy, but it was all condemning lies because he didn't really know the truth in his heart. In a close relationship with our Heavenly Father, we are able to recognize whether a voice is from God or whether it is not. The devil's MO, his mode of operation, has never changed. It has been the same since his first deception with Eve. He took everything that God told Adam and Eve, he took everything and just moved it just a little bit, just to where it was a lie. He takes those things and makes us think, well, it's got to be truth, right? You think, well, I've heard that, it's got to be truth, but it's not. It's a lie. You have to discern what that really is. Maybe today you're realizing in your heart by the Holy Spirit, the spirit of truth, that what you have been hearing from certain voices, from certain outlets, from friends, from having conversations, that what people have been saying to you, and even sometimes what you hear in your own mind, is actually a lie from the enemy. You've received it for so long because everyone else has believed it. So you think to yourself, it must be true, right? But it's not. Amen? Just because you believe a lie does not make it truth. Only truth makes truth. There is no way around that. 10 lies will never equal one truth. Amen? So if you have been listening to those lies of the enemy as you are facing hardships, all of the hardships we have talked about, anything that you think of right now, today is the day for your heart to be made right with truth. Amen? The only way for you to see truth and to know truth is to know Jesus. Amen? The only way to recognize that a lie is a lie is if you recognize what truth really is. And without having that personal relationship with Jesus, without truly spending time with him, you cannot hear his voice when a lie comes at you. Amen? It's easy to take in a lie when you don't know the truth, right? So that is all I have today. It's kind of brief. I just want to encourage you. You know that hardships are going to come. It's how you face them. Amen? And just remember, you don't have to do this alone. God is right there for you, yeah. Right? Yeah. If you believe in Jesus, he is right inside of you. It doesn't matter where you go on this earth. It doesn't matter what house you walk into. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you're in. It doesn't matter what evil place. It doesn't matter. If God is in you, he is with you. And you have to believe that you can hear his voice. Amen? When you're going through something, talk to him. Open up your heart to him. He truly loves you. You know, when you love somebody, you listen to them. They talk and you listen, and then you respond and they talk. It goes back and forth. It's a conversation. Sometimes we look at Jesus and we look at God and we just want to talk all the time. We want to talk and And God's always listening, but sometimes he wants to talk to you. Sometimes he's like, hey, I'd like to get in a word in. Will you just let me talk? So open up your heart to him. Open it up and receive what he wants to tell you, and it will change your life. One word from the Lord has changed my life so many times. Stage after stage in my life. When I was young, and now I'm getting older, I hear his word and it changes me. And I'm telling you, I can't go without hearing his word. I cannot live this life without hearing his word. I can't, without hearing his voice, I feel so like I haven't eaten in a long time. You know, like I desperately need to hear his voice. Amen. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe you haven't been hearing his voice and you need to stop and hear it and be strengthened and be renewed. Because when you go to face these hardships, you need to be ready. You need to have his strength inside of you. Amen. All right, you can go ahead and stand and we'll pray and dismiss. Remember, if you guys need prayer for anything, always, always, Michael and I are available to pray for you, pray with you. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for being here in us and with us, for speaking to us by your Holy Spirit. God, we just ask that every person in here, that you would speak to them exactly what they need to hear. We ask you, Holy Spirit, that you would comfort hurts, that you would take away the pain that people are feeling in Jesus' name, whether it be from emotional hurts or in their bodies. We thank you, Lord, that we are healed by Jesus' stripes. God, we thank you for restoring what we have lost, just like you did for Job. God, return double, Father, to us what the enemy has stolen. And in the name of Jesus, we bind you up, devil, in this place. In Jesus' name, every lie that you have spoken to us, in Jesus' name, we tear it down with the truth of God's word. And we thank you, Father God, that you are our Redeemer and you live. And we trust in you right now. We put our faith in you, Jesus. Have your way in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful, blessed day.